Murfreesboro Mayor, joining us in the studio this morning. First off, it's good to see you. It's weird you got the Murfreesboro fire jacket on. We just had the Marion Fire Department in. So.
I think I was confusing everybody out in the lobby because the firefighters are making the rounds. And
they were trying to push you another control room
about
the upcoming gala there, huh? Hey, you know, when we had Illinois State Representative Terry Bryant on a couple of weeks back, you know, pretty exciting news when it comes to Murfreesboro. We've kind of been waiting for the other shoe to drop when it came to what was once called a work camp, I think.
Yeah.
But now it's getting some new names. It's kind of got a new role to play.
The Life Skills Transitional Center, I think, is what it's called officially. And it's good policy, number one. Anytime that you've got people who are getting ready to re-enter society, you need to be able to give them some skills so that they can re-enter society. And previous to this, I don't think that the state was doing everything they could to truly correct people's behavior. They call it the Department of Corrections, but I'm not sure that we were correcting a lot of things. And I think that this is a good step in the right direction to give people skills, teach them how to go to a job interview, teach them how to cut hair or how to do some other sort of labor so that they're more employable when they hit the street. And that's what this facility is going to do. It's good for Murfreesboro economically because we're talking about, you know, somewhere between 70 and 100 jobs by the time it's fully operational. And also because I think it's going to make our state a safer place to live, work, and raise a family.
You know, it's good to be able to see that reopening, although there had been a lot of rumors about it's going to be opened as a women's prison. You probably heard that. I know I did. And, you know, turns out one thing turned into another, apparently. But those jobs, I mean, but here's the thing. It's like when I was talking to Mike Henry last week, he said he was, you know, going to talk to the Board of Trustees at SIU, saying, look, do something about reorganization. And to think that the jobs of SIU are only about Carbondale, because if I was going to pull an illustration, say it's about other towns, it'd be you. It'd be Murfreesboro or Carterville, I would think.
Absolutely.
It's not just about Carbondale. It's a regional. And when you see this new figure, that in 2016, 46% of high school graduates who enrolled in out-of-state, 46% chose out-of-state schools if they were going to a four-year college, up from 2002, 29%, almost half leave. And we've got this resource here. We got the, you know, the new notes last week about a tuition increase. You're one of the people that say, look, we've got to do something with SIU. It's important to my town, too.
It is important to my town. I tell people SIU is Murfreesboro's largest employer. We have almost 500 people that live inside Murfreesboro that go to work every day at SIU. So it's critical to Murfreesboro that SIU is successful. Now, there's a lot of things that have been outside the university's control that have factored into the decline over the years. I think some of that is just changing millennial students' wants, needs, and desires. A lot of them want to be in a more urban setting, it seems to me. But one of the things that I think is just important is that we as a region, and myself and other mayors and leaders, try to find the positive and speak to it about SIU. The aviation program is exceptionally worthwhile and graduates some of the top pilots in the country. The agriculture program is still very strong. That doesn't mean we don't point out things that need to change, but we have such a negative self-image at times around here anymore, and I don't think that necessarily helps. I don't have all the solutions. I have opinions, and sometimes people tell me I express them more than I ought to, but I'm hopeful because there's nobody that's a bigger Saluki than me, I don't think. I mean, I really have a love for that institution, and I want it to grow, and I want it to succeed. I think it can, but it's going to take some bold leadership.
No, recently I had a guest on the air, and you said, ask about the four-lane highway. And you noticed they didn't know that land had already been bought.
Yeah.
You know, this four-lane coalition – and what it could represent. It's interesting because a late friend of mine, his name was Al Thomas. He was an engineer for District 13, Illinois Department of Transportation. And he was talking about when frontage roads were first used, that he had to go up and down to businesses and explain to them what it was. But what was interesting from his standpoint was I went out, I told him what it was, and then what happens? I see businesses pop up all along the frontage road. And you can't help but wonder if you take that on a larger scale and a four-lane road that, you know, the businesses will grow in each one of those little exits up and down, you know, that and then that access to materials in the airport and into St. Louis, that would be, you know, grafting a major transportation artery into southwestern Illinois, and that increased blood flow would bring some new life into that portion of the state.
I think it would, and people since the 1950s have thought the same thing. You can look at reports and studies going back that far about increasing 127 to four lanes up to Pinckneyville to Nashville or over to Redbud. I mean, the different designs have come and gone over the years, but there's no question that whenever you build your infrastructure, President Trump tweeting out this morning talking about infrastructure, that you're going to see economic development. Just off of the construction jobs that'll be created to build the project alone will last for a decade or more. And there's already been a property purchased between Murfreesboro and Virgins. Next time, I will just highlight this for people. Next time they drive from Murfreesboro to Virgins on Route 127, take a look at the power poles to the east. They are all further offset because this has been done in preparation for this project years ago. So we've got a strong coalition of people together. Paul Schimpf and others were at the last meeting in Pinckneyville. I'm going to be hosting another meeting of the four-county, four-lane coalition coming up at the end of this month. And we're going to keep pushing to get this done because it needs to get done. And I think we're also doing a good job of educating people along the way, because there are people that say, we don't need this. You're going to be taking my farmland. And I understand those concerns. I really do understand those concerns. And we've got to hear from those people so the design is right, if we can get the funding for it. But it's critical. It's critical for Murfreesboro. I think it's critical for Carbondale and the region as a whole.
And every day we put it off, it becomes more expensive.
Absolutely.
You know, it's an idea whose time has come. As you said, it goes back, you know, 60 years.
Well, as somebody once said, to delay makes making the right decision harder. If I've got a flight to Atlanta and it takes off at 3 o'clock today and I can't decide whether to get on the plane or not, the plane's going to take off without me. Decisions are made whether we make them or not. And we've continually not made this decision for 5 decades, and it's time to make it.
So you think that the president, his announcement today about infrastructure, and we say we're talking about a pretty good chunk of change here, $200 billion for infrastructure spending, 23 enhanced border security. But it was interesting in listening to reports before I came in this morning, the term leverage state and local dollars. And when you're in Illinois, you're going, what dollars?
Mm-hmm.
That gives me a little bit of concern. Can we hold up our end of the bargain? Do we have the money to be able to hold up our end of the bargain to be able to get those federal dollars? Because it seems like, from your standpoint, four-lane highway coalition and the announcement of massive infrastructure package out of the White House today, that this may be an idea whose time literally has come in a very practical sense.
Certainly, and I think that it's a concern when people talk about local match, because we are struggling as a state financially. But I think we all know this. The interstate highway system cost a lot of money, and it's returned on its investment time and time again.
Ask Marion.
Absolutely.
Many times Bob Butler and I asked, what would Marion be like? Because Kenny Gray had to have 57 moved so that it would go through Marion. That was not the original plan. A lot of people don't know that. And whatever happened to make Kenny Gray, you know, influence that decision making, look what it did for Marion.
Oh, no question. When you look at Marion, and they have done a wonderful job of managing growth. A lot of times people say, they've got the interstate and so they've been successful. You know, it's not easy to manage growth, but Marion has done that well over the years. And I tip my hat to them and to the recently retired Mayor Butler for his good work there. And that's one of the things that we're trying to do here. We've seen that growth, and we'd like to have that as well. There's also a little bit of a safety aspect here, and I don't claim to be an expert on traffic safety, but we've seen all of the things that have been happening on 57 during a certain stretch, and we think that an expansion there could potentially pull some of that traffic off and reduce...
Take the pressure off.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, because you know how many times my... Google Maps says go to 57 if you're going to say, I don't want to go that way. I'm going through Murfreesboro.
Yeah, well, you read the, if you've got a, you know, self-preservation instinct to a certain extent, and I don't want to overplay it. I don't want to in any way overplay it, but I know that that's something IDOT's looking at, and it's just one thing we're considering with that project.
I tell you, I was lucky enough a week ago today to go to the ISO plant growing facility at the Williamson, just outside the Williamson County Airport. This is the medical marijuana growing facility. I was standing there with a couple of the developers, and we were walking and walked up to the big plate glass windows, and he says, and over there is where they're going to put the solar farm.
Mm-hmm.
Is over there where they're going to put the solar farm? Are we going to see that? Is that going to happen?
I think so. I had a representative from Solar Alliance in Murfreesboro last Tuesday afternoon, spent about 5 hours with him, and I'm not sure exactly how much I can say. We're going to talk about it at the city council meeting this Tuesday, tomorrow night, but we are within days, I think, of pulling the trigger and making an announcement on the Kerwood facility in Murfreesboro that would bring it would be a multi-million dollar development, and it would mean, I'd say, dozens of jobs in the short term and potentially more than that in the long term. And this is something I've been working on for a long, long time.
And I find it interesting because in that respect, the new tariffs that were put on imports on solar panels.
Yeah, and I talked to the representative from Solar Alliance, and he said that that would help them some. He said that the panels that they had been purchasing were actually made in Canada, and there is no tariff on product from Canada, so it wouldn't impact them as much as, say, if they had been purchasing from overseas. So the way that they have been, because they're based out of Canada, the company is.
Right.
So that's sort of a negligible effect for them.
Yeah, what, take it at a wash, we'll call it.
Right.
So, you know, what is it about Murfreesboro? I had a meeting with a senator and some of his office staff and a couple others, and it seems like you have a real entrepreneurial spirit in Murfreesboro. I wonder if it's because I live there that I'm hypersensitive to it, whether you talk to the guy that's creating the new microbrewery, you know, or, you know, Mike Mills that says, I'm going to bring jobs from Indiana and create a sauce factory here. Or, you know, it's CareTrack International. We make something that goes all around the world out of Murfreesboro to help track, kids that are lost and people with Alzheimer's. I mean, when you look at Murfreesboro, it really does have a quite the entrepreneurial spirit, doesn't it?
Penn Aluminum is there as well. And I think part of that comes from the fact that we've got such a long history, although not as prevalent today with the railroad, which was the interstate of old.
Right.
And it brought with it a lot of entrepreneurs because that's where you could move product from. And when you look at the history, back in the 1920s, there was a group of business leaders and civic leaders that formed a plan to go sit on the front doorsteps of companies and try to recruit them, to bring them to Murfreesboro. When I first got elected, I read that article in the old Daily Independent newspaper, and I thought, if we're going to grow here, this is sort of what we're going to have to do all over again. It's kind of an old school approach, but I think that it has helped us over the last 5 years or so to bring in a few new things. And I think inherently it just exists because of the history of the community, because people there and throughout Southern Illinois, but I find in Murfreesboro we've got a really strong volunteer spirit as well.
And I saw that during the barbecue championships, right? You've got to have all the volunteers come out and bring all the judges everywhere. It's one of the, you know, when I moved there from Harrisburg, it was one of the first things. It was a different vibe going on. And I've always, the enthusiasm, I think, is part of it. It's contagious.
Well, look at our hometown Christmas event. And like I said the last time I talked about this, Carterville was our inspiration for that. And they've done a great job with their Christmas festivities. But we looked at that and we said, you know, we've got to get busy. Now, that didn't come from me or anyone else. There was just a group of people who said, all right, we could do better than what we're doing. And so they organized a volunteer group. They've reinvented the Main Street organization. And we've had a tremendous relighting of the city Christmas tree. And I think that's going to continue to grow. So that's just another example of, I think, what I see and what you've seen.
And you take the park and see what, you know, the having the wine festival, wine and arts festival there,
right.
You know, the blues festival there. I mean, there's that. And we're always trying, getting those wheels spinning, if we could just get some momentum.
Right. And I think we've got it with the hotel build. The developer's going to be at Tuesday night's meeting announcing a groundbreaking date for that, I believe, probably in March. Mid-March, I think, is what we're shooting for. And there's going to be a $20 million total investment down there. So I'm excited about that.
That's really going to, you know, and it's weird when you go to someone's houses, what's the first thing you see? The welcome mat.
Yeah.
Right? And the doorknob. That's a heck of a welcome mat.
Yes, yes, it is a heck of a welcome mat. And the welcome mat we had before had grown a little frayed around the edges, so it was good that we created that TIF district to make that development happen. We had an old manufacturing plant on Shoemaker Drive, the old Brown Shoe Factory that's now cleared out and is a soccer complex, and they're getting ready to build a new concession stand down there and host tournaments and things of that nature, which will bring people in from around the region. So it's a lot of different things. It's a lot of different constituencies that are believing in the community and investing their dollars there. And once you get that spark, you know, it's just like building a campfire. Once you get that spark going, and you get the right resources together, you can get something really, really going.
Have you been doing something new to reduce crime in Murfreesboro? And I'm, well, I would the knock on, right?
Yeah.
Because I don't want to put the bad juju on you. But, you know, you see what's going on with shootings in streets and shots heard and things along that line. And Murfreesboro had its share, but it seems over the last year, once again, perception, less crime?
Well, I think so. And one of the things that we have done, I think that our officers are more involved in the community today than they have been in some years previous. We are doing business checks that are required. We have guys that are out walking the beat to a certain extent. And I think that making them more visible makes a difference. I'm not a police officer, and I don't claim to know all of the ins and outs, and I don't micromanage my police department. But I know that we have seen a reduction in some of our crime rates and crime statistics over the last year and a half, and that's important. Now, I'm not going to act as if we don't have any crime in Murfreesboro. We certainly do, and we've got a lot of work to do. A lot of work to do, but I think we're heading in the right direction.
See, and here's the thing: there's crime. It's amazing how you compartmentalize. And I right crime and you shoplift, you steal something. It's guns and shooting people, which are my new, you know, my new sore spot.
Well,
random fire shots in this, you know, two cars shooting at each other going down the street in front of the church. That happened in Harrisburg, not Murfreesboro. I want to make clear there.
Sure.
But it still is. It's made me hypersensitive to this issue because you and I, as young boys, rode our bicycles safely after dark down the very same streets that now we might be a little intimidated by it. Make sure the kids are home by sunset because this might happen.
And well, the culture's a little different, and I don't fully understand it, but I've been in a very limited number of fistfights in my life, and you know, some of them turned out well for me and some of them didn't, but I never did ever. It never crossed my mind that if I was upset with somebody that I would go get a gun and shoot someone.
Right.
I mean, but I was around guns. I had access to them ever since I was 6 years old, but it never even crossed my mind to use one in a violent way against another person. But that was just the way I was raised. And I think that there is something going on in terms of the way that people perceive them, and that's leading to a part of this. Now, that's a very complex social issue that I can't unpack. But
right, and I can't either. But, yeah, and to this day, I'm afraid, you know, I'd never do anything like that because I'd get spanked.
Right.
My mom would be – my dad would be mad at me. I'd never be forgiven. You know, isn't that weird how –
it sticks with you.
It doesn't it? All right. I can remember being threatened pretty severely if you don't put the handle the gun properly when you're crossing the barbed wire to go into the next field to dove hunt. What do you mean you didn't unload it? What do you mean you left it leaning precariously against a piece of wire while – what do you mean you didn't have the safety on? Well, there's going to be trouble when we get home, young man.
Well, what did I tell you when I walked in here? I was afraid I was going to be late, and I said it's because my dad's voice is always in my head saying, on time is 15 minutes early.
That's exactly right.
Same kind of thing.
My new guy over here in the same way.
Yeah?
Yeah. He's coming in, starting his training today, and he's always here early.
Well, that's good. That's a good sign.
That's a good sign. News Radio WJPF, Murfreesboro Mayor Will Stevens. Will, it's always good to see you, Chief.
Tom, thank you.
You know, it's fun, though, is, you know, you start getting into the new year. St. Patrick's Day.
It's on the way.
Right.
St. Patrick's Festival in Murfreesboro. St. Patrick's Day falls on a Saturday this year.
Oh, that's timely.
So that works out well, and we're going to have the parade, and we're going to have stuff for kids to do at the Youth and Rec Center. I know Brews Brothers Tap Room is going to have a bag tournament. Lots of things going on downtown for St. Patty's Day.
All right. Do you get to judge the Irish Stew Cook-Off? They still doing that?
I've done that. I've been a judge the last 3 years, and I never knew I liked Irish stew.
Neither did I. Until the Irish Stew Cook-Off in Murfreesboro.
I like the one in the bread bowl the best.
I didn't even know what Irish coffee was until, I believe it was Dave Fombell introduced me to that during Patrick's Day.
Don't have too much of it.
It's a great idea. I'd never heard of it.
Yeah.
Will Stevens, Murfreesboro Mayor. Best of luck, Will.
Thanks, Tom.
All right, man.